Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, Hiring is Not an HR Process, Chapter 2, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, how can I improve my ability to hire? Do I have to follow my company's standards? And how can I hire someone who doesn't meet our requirements? For answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Hey folks, if you're in Australia and you've been thinking about bringing manager tools to your organization, please know we'll be in Australia at the end of April and beginning of May 2023. Now, we'd normally charge travel costs when we come overseas to a location such as this. However, we'll already be there with another client as well as a public event. What that means is you can book us for a normal overseas rate and no travel included. It's a great deal. If you'd like to have us come on site to your organization, send an email to maggie@manager-tools.com and she'll talk to you about how to bring us in to your organization. This is chapter 2 of our series, Hiring is Not an HR Process. And we're continuing this series, having started it quite some time ago, in December of 2021. So for those of you that are just joining us for part 2, starting today, for the next few weeks, I should say, you may want to go back to our cast, Hiring is Not an HR Process, Chapter 1, that came out in December 2021. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason we're back with this topic is we've gotten lots of requests to explain more the specific actions managers can take in response to the fact that hiring is not an HR process. And the thing is, many managers assume there's a standard process for hiring, and because they assume this process exists, they assume they must follow it, even when the process doesn't work for them. But it's important to realize, one of the things we're going to talk about today, the fact that many of the rules that we're told to follow were instituted when the talent market was full of candidates. What that means is, when it's a candidates market, the rules, they need changing. And we may be in organizations right now where we're stuck with two restrictive processes preventing us from bringing in talent that we need right now. So the crux of all of it is the fact that effective managers know which rules must be followed and which rules can be bent. So if we do it right, we can work within our processes to bring in good hires, even though we're not sticking to the HR process.
Even some rules could be broken.
Right.
If you do it correctly, even your interpretation of a rule could be adapted. It could, your interpretation of a rule could be different than HR's interpretation of a rule. And this is a really interesting time to be recording this cast because the talent market was really tight a couple months ago. I think that's about to shift a little bit into maybe there might in some industries be people entering the talent market. So you may be listening to this years from now. You could be listening to it right as it's coming out. Bear in mind that we've talked about HR versus hiring and managers, hiring managers' responsibility in that environment. So today, we're going to talk about the fact that corporate rules are kind of like laws. Mm-hmm. Hiring rules are ripe to be bent. You really should start hiring by creating your own bench. Learn the hiring requirements. Gather your own resumes from out there in the universe. Conduct your own screening interviews. Interview while you're negotiating with HR, because HR's processes take a long time.
Yep.
Keep your boss informed and appraised. Not asking for approval, and present an ideal future employee to the system, and you may be rewarded with an ideal team member.
Exactly.
So that's what we're going to cover in the course of these parts here for chapter 2. And this is something that I really love, is the idea that hiring rules are ripe to be bent. I have in my career spent some time bending some rules and found that I both enjoy it and sometimes it is very successful.
Yeah.
That's
the thing.
Yeah, I think that we get an idea in our heads that this is the rule and it must be followed. And I think understanding the rule and why it's there can help us to understand
absolutely
when it needs to be exercised upon the situation. I think most hiring managers see the process in their organization as HR designed it, they control it, and they don't necessarily communicate it. Like HR doesn't really tell you, you know, they right. approve what's known as open recs, which is short for open requisition, or in other words, the company by opening a rec sanctions
that you permits can be, you to.
Right. So you can start interviewing. And this is going to sound like I'm parsing. There's a difference between hiring and interviewing.
Exactly.
So bear that in mind, y'all, that just because the company has finally opened the rec doesn't mean that you shouldn't have been in some form of hiring in advance. And that, you know, that just means you can start interviewing. So HR opens the rec. Or the company says, hey, yeah, you can interview, which sometimes that's through the open rec. And you can do that as well as ask for approval to offer a candidate or ask HR to make an offer to a candidate. A lot of managers feel that HR controls salary levels, the banding of salaries, and can in many cases approve a manager's offer amount to a candidate.
Mm-hmm. And for many of us, I mean, HR also writes job descriptions.
Yeah,
that they use external systems like competencies and other stuff that, I mean, let's face it, they don't tell us about, but presumably they use these systems, which are creating these job descriptions. And sometimes they ask for input from actual human managers. HR controls then, having created that job description, they control and manage these job descriptions and don't even necessarily share the job descriptions. At times, they even demand to know why managers have asked to see another manager's job description, which is HR's form of asserting their control, again, over the ownership of job description process. And the knowledge of this, knowing that HR is behaving in this way, this control over job descriptions, would be an embarrassment to any CEO who spent even a minute thinking about it. I mean, why do we care whether they want to see a different job description? Are job descriptions now somehow a confidential thing? Do we not trust our managers to see job descriptions?
They're on the internet. Why would they be secretive internally? If they're going to be,
right?
If that's getting posted on some job board somewhere, how could it possibly be true that we wouldn't want to share it internally? That's baffling.
Makes no sense.
It makes no sense. And you might have in your mind that HR is responsible for recruitment by creating relationships with schools or recruiting agencies where candidates can be found, stuff like that. HR is responsible in a lot of cases for branding the organization and the hiring market. Maybe they're making posters and advertisements that go out and that demonstrate about the culture of the firm. HR even sends out guidance about how interviews are created, even though they don't conduct a significant percentage of them. HR controls offers to the point of even making those offers themselves as opposed to letting the hiring manager do it. This is often because HR is measured on the organization's acceptance to offer rate.
Yep.
Any of this sound familiar, y'all?
Right. That's the thing. This should sound, I'm betting this would sound familiar to a lot of people. A lot of managers don't really realize that HR's control of the hiring process is far less than they believe it to be. It's in many cases, an artifact of a bygone era in corporate processes that's, at this point, largely smoke and mirrors. So let's get started before we talk about this, the reasons for it, ultimately. Let's start with the history of it. All of the things that we just went through, all the things that Kate just said, is the way things used to be in large organizations. Now, it was that way for a reason. It was that way because large organizations used to have much more powerful, much larger HR departments than they do now. And to go a step further, those HR departments explicitly told all of their employees that they were responsible for managing those individuals' careers.
Yeah, HR was responsible for it.
Right. They took that responsibility, managing people's individual careers. So why wouldn't they also have all of this control over the hiring piece? And this worked really well in a lot of ways until the democratization of the job market, thanks to, let's face it, the internet.
Yeah.
And the failures of large organizations leading to massive layoffs, destroying the trust between employees and employers. We realized, hey, maybe they're not the people that are managing my career very well. And hey, there are other options out there. I see that to be true. So because this power that HR wielded has been all but taken away since then, HR has been attempting to hold on to the power they've had before.
Sure. Yeah, it's very human to want to stick with the processes that we were in before, right? It's like, we did it
Absolutely.
This way before.
It's easier. Change hurts.
Yeah, we did it this way before. It worked, except it didn't really work. And I'm not suggesting that there was any, I don't know, negative intent in those.
Yeah, there was no maliciousness
right,
in good. The lead up to it. Absolutely not.
Right. And honestly, it's a little bit of a conflict of interest when you think about it that way, of like the organization hires and the organization hires HR and HR is part of the organization for them to manage people's careers when in fact their obligation is to the organization.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a conflict of interest. So I do think that it's a great thing that we have the internet now telling us, you know, what people's salaries are to an
totally.
Extent, at least bands and things like that, so that we have more information. Information is really important, really useful. And let's be honest, the person who's best to manage your career is yourself, not HR or, you know, somebody in HR. And HR has been trying to hold on to this power because that's what it was before, and that's really cool, and that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, for most HR organizations, this like clutching at the power is achieved through benign neglect of most managers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's managers saying things or thinking to themselves or behaving as if, hey, I don't want to have to create my own hiring sources and go out and interview
tons
of people. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't want to go on campus and talk to people. And the fear of HR power brought on when they act as if they have the power of the executive whom they support, which they don't.
Which they don't. Exactly.
Yeah, HR doesn't have that power. So we've got this twofold kind of thing here. Like, hiring managers don't want to do all the work necessary. And we're afraid.
HR is intimidating.
Yeah, that they do have that power and that they are the boss of us. And we want them to do some parts of being the boss of us, but we don't actually want them to be the boss of us.
That's the thing.
I keep saying we as if you and I feel this way, which would be, that's a bit misleading. That's not how we feel.
That's totally it, right? We being managers are happy to give up some of the responsibilities, but we're not happy accepting all of them. That's the thing. What most managers don't know about this entire, I'm going to call it landscape, is that HR knows that its control over these processes is no longer ironclad. They know that the talent landscape and the contract between employers and employees has changed, which makes it obvious that they need to keep that control. And they also know managers think wrongly, as we just talked about, that HR is in fact in control. It's kind of in my brain like the equivalent of fake it till you make it for HR. They're acting like they have the control. And we, in many cases, being managers, don't know a whole ton better, which means that we go along with it and therefore they end up having the control.
That's totally valid. And the thing is, the original reason for that need for them to be controlling, right? The idea that like, hey, you're going to help me manage my career, and so therefore you should have some control.
Yeah.
That has been removed. That's not there anymore. And instead now, we've given them that power through our own behavior.
Exactly.
So the original reason for that is gone. So in fact, that power is not necessarily there. Now, if you give it up, they'll take it.
Yo, totally. Absolutely.
But you don't have to give it up, y'all. You don't have to say, HR, do whatever.
Yeah, whatever you like. I'll follow all your rules.
Go do these things. Yeah, you don't. Really, seriously, HR's hiring processes are ripe to be bent.
Mm-hmm.
As a hiring manager, you have way more ability to depart from the standards than you probably realize. And listen, y'all, some people who are listening to this, you may not have been a manager for a long time, or your organization didn't have big HR or something like that. You may have no idea about HR. That's okay. It's totally fine. Most managers who become hiring managers, their entire experience with interviewing and hiring as candidates.
Yeah.
And the only way—
Not unusual.
Yeah. That's why we're here. We're here to help you when your experience is from the other side of the table, to learn how to behave on this side of the table, which is as the hiring manager, as the person who's interviewing candidates, you have more control than you realize. You can hire faster. You can hire to the same quality. You can do this without crossing any lines that are, you know, shouldn't be crossed. You can stay on the right side of the law while—
The law?
Yeah, while getting what you need. And especially right now, we're in a really tight talent market. That doesn't mean that when you're listening to this, it will be a really tight market. But when hiring gets harder, HR will be more amenable to you not enforcing its perceived power. And you can get the talent you need, even without following all of their rules to the exact letter.
That's how you know they're not real rules. If they suddenly don't enforce their rules when it gets harder to hire, they're not real rules. Now, this is not to suggest that you go poke your finger in the eye of HR. We're not suggesting that you fight HR on this topic. We don't recommend that at all. We recommend, though, that you realize and recognize the field you're playing on and the rules that exist, as well as being aware of the ones that are perceived but don't exist, and that you actively engage in behaviors and processes that benefit you and therefore the company. Many managers will be able to do all that we recommend in this cast without ever crossing paths with HR at all. Now, there's going to be some times potentially that what we recommend you do may require approval from your manager, what have you, to be done. But the vast majority of this is not going to require you getting in a tête-à-tête with HR. It's not.
Seriously, y'all, make a friend in HR. We've said this so many times.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Go down there. Find somebody who's great. Ask them. Go learn about the rules. Do you even know what they are? I mean, if somebody sends you a PowerPoint slide that's got a bunch of decision, what is that? What's the ones where it's some of our squares and then there's like a diamond, decision flow, like a path?
I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay. I have no idea.
Sometimes there's these PowerPoint slides and they have squares and then they have like a little diamond and that's like a decision point. And then if it's yes or no, you go one way or the other.
Oh, like those flow charts. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Flow chart. Like a decision matrix flow chart. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's actually a name for that. And somebody listening is screaming.
Oh, totally.
This is the name.
They're yelling.
Send me an email and remind me because I've completely forgotten. It's been a really long time since I saw a PowerPoint that looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
My experience with it was, hey, here's a PowerPoint flow chart decision tree.
Wow.
Of what you do when you're hiring. And it came from HR. And that was supposed to be what I did, except nobody really briefed me on it. It was just like, hey, here's this PowerPoint. And honestly, if that's your experience, y'all, the secret is go down to HR, find someone and say, can you help me understand this? not that it's not clear, like what's on the slide, the behind the scenes mechanics of it.
Right.
You know, how do we get here? And what are the six things behind this? And because I promise you, it's going to look like, oh, this isn't hard. And
yeah,
I'm not going to lie to y'all. There was a point where, and I don't recommend you do this because we just said, don't fight with HR. There was a point where I said, well, we can do this a lot faster if we just cross out these boxes.
And oh, some, ow.
Somebody said, yeah, Kate, that's not really how it works. And I, it turns out it could work that way.
It could work.
And in fact,
but it doesn't.
That person is not listening. But if they were, I would say to them, turns out it does work that way sometimes.
We tried it.
I did try it.
That's the thing.
It did work. And it did save me 6 weeks in the process. You know, crossing out the boxes doesn't fix it, but
it does.
You can save yourself sometimes.
Exactly.
In steps. Hey, all, happy new year. Throughout the year, we host occasionally some effective hiring manager conferences. One of them is coming up in 2 weeks in Austin. January 17th, we are hosting an effective hiring manager event. It's a public event. You can sign up online and attend with us. We only host this event once a quarter, and that means your opportunities are fewer, but you might be looking to hire. The market is shifting. So we'd love to see you in Austin, January 17th for our effective hiring manager. The 2 days after that also include effective manager and effective communicator. Love to see you at all three. Just want to let you know, effective hiring manager. You can go to our website, manager-tools.com, and sign up online. Come and see us. We'd love to have you there.
Another thing that saves time on our outline, start by creating your own bench.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking to managers on our podcasts about having a bench since the beginning of Manager Tools, like 2005, start talking about it. And unfortunately, far too many managers still don't even know what a bench is. So what we're saying is, even though you may not know what it is, we're going to talk about it today. And many of you who know what it is, you don't have one. And shame on you. We've been telling you to have one. Folks, the bench, or your bench, is the sum of all of your relationships. They're internal, they're external to your firm. They're with the people whom you might consider hiring at some point. Now, it's a really expansive concept, but essentially, your bench is everyone you know. It's the people that you know who you may or may not in the future have a job that they could fill at some point, whether it's for an existing role on your team, or it's an existing role in your organization, or it's for a role that maybe one day, doing some job you do, they might be able to fill. It includes everyone that could do that. It's big. It's huge.
And I've been talking a lot this week about this. And y'all, if you're listening to this around the holidays, like if you're listening as this comes out, now is a great time of year. Start sending some notes. We have another podcast about keeping your network warm. It's a great time of year.
Say Happy New Year.
Yeah. Say Happy New Year. Hey, Happy New Year. Hope your holidays were great. Mm-hmm. Fantastic time to be doing this. You send that note. Then when these people start flooding the talent market in middle of the year or 2 years from now, at least you're a person who sent a note that says happy holidays at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Your bench is not just people who are qualified for existing roles.
Exactly.
You could have a graphic designer on your bench, even though your company doesn't have any graphic designers.
Right. We don't do graphic design.
Right. But hey, maybe you do external talent graphic design, like you contract. Maybe one of those people is really great. Even if you're certain that you could not now get authority to change your organization by bringing in a graphic designer full time as opposed to the contracting position, there might be a graphic designer on your bench. You might have, I do, a college student on your bench because you've been incredibly impressed by them through family or civics or club connections. They may have no interest in your field, your job,
your job. No, don't want to work for you.
Y'all, there is a girl in Boise. I know her through my husband and their like family kind of charity work. And she got up every day for a month this summer at 6 a.m. her time before work to interview, like mock interview with me so that she could get in to PA school, like physician's assistant school.
Oh, nice.
We don't have any need of a physician's assistant.
We don't.
This person is so impressive. Do you know any other college students who get up early before work to mock interview? Because I would like to know them.
Mm-hmm.
I also have on my bench a wedding planner in California. I think this person is fantastic. I think that they would be great. We don't need a wedding planner here.
No.
We're good. We don't do that. And I've worked with this person before. They had a positive attitude the whole time I was working with them. I know them to be a hard worker. They're honest. I mean, my bench includes those people. I'm thinking of particularly one person who I spoke with like recently who's so smart. We're never going to be able to hire this person. Like, they're a neuroscientist. Guess what? Technically, I consider them part of my bench. Now, maybe that's like the part of my bench that's unlikely. However, part of my network, I think them to be good at their work and they are dedicated. And
right. Folks, the rate at which people change jobs now, I mean, it is true that all of us will change our career multiple times in our life. I mean, going back to Kate's example, wedding planner. No, we do not do weddings here. We don't. Do not ask. But also, though, what we do is we plan a lot of large events in hotels.
Wedding planners do that?
Wedding planners do that exact same thing. Those skills are super helpful doing some of the things we do. We don't need a wedding planner, but their skills are valid skills that we could leverage for a different purpose. Those people on your bench are going to, at some point throughout the term of you knowing them, want to change careers.
Yes.
You want to be the person that's there when they say, hey, I've been thinking about changing careers. What do you think I should do? Well,
come work over here.
Come over here. We have this logistics assistant job. Why don't you do that? It's that, right?
That's what just happened to us.
All those individuals. Exactly.
Yeah. We just hired someone whose job was not be a travel agent.
Not to be a travel agent.
Not to be a travel agent.
But is now a travel agent.
Yes. We just hired someone who worked in logistics. You know, the great thing about your bench? Your bench is the starting place for taking charge of the hiring process because it's a talent source that HR doesn't control or significantly influence. And you have more data about the people on your bench because you have experience with them. Your friends, people you've worked with in the past, people like you interact with them. You hear them talk about their work. You get a sense of whether they do a good job at their work. Mm-hmm. I've been making jokes about it for the past couple of years because we just hired in the last couple of years, two of the top people from my personal bench. Mm-hmm. And it's because I have been stalking, and I'm making
that's fun.
Air quotes, I've been stalking their careers for years. I've been listening to them talk about their work. I've been watching their behavior and other interactions. And I thought, you know what? I think this person could work with us someday and I would be happy to work with them. And it was based on all of that data I had of their past. I have way more data about how they behave in certain situations than somebody who's come in from some kind of like online resource where we're sourcing candidates. I know more about them. And
exactly.
Imagine. If you're in HR, y'all, HR is happy to have managers who source their own talent.
Totally.
They have a tough job.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? They're responsible for, they're attempting to address the entirety of the organization's hiring needs. I mean, they're often stuck having to review hundreds and hundreds of resumes and cover letters for hundreds and hundreds of open requisitions with variations across the entire thing. I mean,
it's so many skills.
Checklist nightmare. Seriously, there's so much that, and they have to interface with some kludgy system where people are submitting their resumes and they have to try and pull that documentation out of it. And it's a nightmare. Their incentives are both organizational, that is, they're tracked on many statistics, and managerials, that is, specific to your opening. So in terms of HR, they would love a little bit of help, yo.
Yeah.
If you know some people, tell those people to apply and then go to your HR business partner. Again, going back to what Kate said earlier, be friends with an HR person and tell them, hey, I've got these couple people. They've submitted their resumes through the online portal. I'm hoping that when you're reviewing resumes, it'll be a little bit easier. I've already looked at their credentials. Can you make sure these folks get through?
This is the other thing too, right? Managers, they say, oh my gosh, HR, they're not nice. Like, they're not doing a good job. Or HR, you know, looked at this resume and passed on it because I said, it said Java when I need Python. If you're listening, and I know Java and Python are not the same thing, I just couldn't come up with any other software. So please, I just offended every software engineer who's ever listened to us. And I know there's a lot of y'all out there. So just want to say, HR can't know that there's another language that could be substituted for Python for every job. They just can't know that.
No.
The breadth of knowledge necessary is astronomical. So please don't complain about the fact that HR doesn't know what they could sub for Python and then also expect them to do everything up to the final interview.
Exactly.
I mean, how could they not need some help from you? They do.
Of course.
They need information. They need understanding. You can source your own talent. And not only that, y'all, but if you're working with someone on your bench, you have information that someone who's applying needs.
Like, exactly.
What about, I don't know, getting their resume in the right format, making sure it includes the right keywords or that
totally.
Some resumes get thrown out because they're two pages, or resumes get thrown out because they got the wrong font or something. I've seen so many things. It's like, oh, these bullets aren't in the right margins.
Right.
Yo, you've gone too far, by the way, HR.
If
that's part of our criteria on the thing, that's too far. Your bench, starting place for taking charge here. HR doesn't control this talent source, but it's also you doing something that benefits HR in helping them to bring in talent that you have information about that they might be good.
Exactly. And we'll have more to say about the bench and bench details, but for now, don't just consider your bench. Enlist your team to talk about individuals they know as well, right? The people that you know, plus all of the people that all of the people on your team know, is a lot of people. And add those individuals to your list of people that might be right for the team. What's more, tell your team that you're going to want their continued help in improving the process. I mean, HR can't do it all. You getting involved helps, but you can't do it all either. You've got an entire team of folks that you can get working in the single direction, working toward a common goal. Let the folks on your team know you're going to be asking them to screen resumes and potentially conduct screening interviews, as well as being involved in and up to the final interview with individuals. The entire team should be involved. It makes every one of them better at every step in the process, as well as making the process better. It's overall team and hiring improvement. Why wouldn't you?
If you're a hiring manager in the position of, hey, this is my first round or couple of rounds, or I've only done this a few times on from this side of the table, like you're the interviewer rather than the candidate, know that that is normal and take that thought a step further. For your directs, they don't know how to do this. Bring them along with you in your learnings. Help them by involving them in this process so that they know more while you're there to make sure that it goes well. Because hiring is the single biggest thing that a manager does to create future success in their organization. There's a lot of stuff you do that's really crucial to results and things like that. This is so important, y'all. Some of the people who you hire may outlast you in your organization.
Absolutely.
And you are genuinely contributing to or detracting from your organization's ability to create results for maybe the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
This is important stuff. Let's make sure that your team, if any of them ever get promoted to be your peer manager, that they're capable of bringing in people who are just as good as the people you're bringing in because they know this process.
Exactly. That's exactly it. We talk about this all the time, Kate. Many of us, when we became managers, weren't trained how to do it. We were not taught how to do it.
Yeah.
Don't visit that same ill upon the people on your team. If the first time you were responsible for hiring or interviewing, you felt like a fish out of water, that's your boss's fault. But if that same thing happens to the folks in your team, that, my friend, is your fault. That's all for this week, folks. Come back next week with part two of this series.